This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
As you walk together hand in hand, Allah has given you a companion and friend to stand and always be seen as man and wife fulfilling their deen. From this day on, forever be true.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Most Merciful, all praise is due to Allah. And may His peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We begin by greeting our brothers, our sisters, and all of our viewers, saying, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace and blessings and the mercy of Allah be upon all of you. We are talking about what kind of a person we are to be looking for. And we spoke about a person that we are compatible with, a person that we are physically and emotionally we are attracted to. And we spoke about a person whom we are also considered to be religious. Moving on with these type of people, we get into another aspect, and that is the person's character. We want a person of character. Remember that hadith that we quoted earlier, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about this, and he says, when a person whom you approve of their religiosity and of their character approaches you with a marital proposal, you should consider that marital proposal, provided that the other things that we spoke about are there as well. But character is very important. Character is who we really are. Remember, we said that there are usually three components into us. There is our reputation, that's what people think of us. There is our personality, and that's what we seem to be. And then there is our character, and that is who we really are. So who we really are is what is most important about us. We want to ask about the reputation about the person. We want to consider, as we will soon, inshallah, the personality of the individual. But also most important is the character of that individual. And the character, we're looking about into the ethics, the principles, the habits, the actions, the deeds, the thoughts, the collective of all of these about that person. And then we are able to say, this is a person of character. So character is not to be neglected. Character is to be considered highly. And we said that it's in the little things that we know about the character of the individual. We gave an example the other day about what does and how does that person treat those who can do the least to him. How does he treat the waiter when they go to the restaurant? How does he treat his servants at home? How does he treat other people who are around him who are not of importance or in a position of power? How does he treat them? Because this is a reflection of character. And sadly nowadays, not much emphasis is put on people's character. Like we said, we're influenced by their money, by their appearance, by their lifestyle, by their power, by their authority. But rarely do we ever consider the people's character. So when a person approaches you, you want to know more about their character. And remember, when we say getting to know the person in an appropriate way, you must ask enough questions. Questions that are revealing of a person's character. You get to learn about the person. You pay attention to what is the type of their words. You know what's interesting? Words say so much about us. What type of words do we use? They actually have an exercise that they do to see whether a person is an optimist or is a pessimist. So for example, if I were to come and say, would you like some water? A person may say what? No, thank you. They can say that, right? And that would be polite. But they say that, a better answer would be, I prefer something else. Or later. Or the idea of using, of not wanting to use the word no, because no is negative. By the way, this is one of the descriptions that Al-Farazdaq gave to one of the descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Abd al-Malik ibn Urwan went to Kaaba to go around the Kaaba, he said it was so crowded, even though the people know that this is Abd al-Malik ibn Urwan, who was the leader at that time, nobody cared about him. And people just kept going around the Kaaba, pushing him away. So he could not kiss the black stone. And then all of a sudden he sat at a distance and he's watching. All of a sudden this big huge gap was made leading into the black stone. And he answered, the people have just opened it up and somebody walked in and kissed the black stone. And he was, of course, very furious about this, that I, Abd al-Malik ibn Urwan, people don't do this to me. Who is that person? Al-Farazdaq was sitting there and he described the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the great grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then at the very end of it, he said, مَا قَالَ لَا قَطٌ إِلَّا فِي تَشَهُدِهِ لَوْلَا التَّشَهُدُ كَانَتْ لَاءَهُ نَعَمُ. He said, this person has never pronounced the term la, which means what? No or nahi, right? He's never said nahi before in his life, except when he is doing the shahada. And had it not been for the shahada, he would never say no. Okay? That is character. That is part of character, the type of choices that we use. In the social settings, how do we behave? How do we act? Like I said, and this sounds very redundant at this point, but constantly we are saying and we are revealing so much of information about ourselves. You want somebody who is of an upright character. The Prophet ﷺ specified that it is religiosity and character as well. Character also means very close to personality, as we will see. How do we deal with other people? Are we approachable? Are we likable? Are we lovable? Are we easy to deal with? Are we easygoing? Are we relaxed? As we will see soon, inshallah. Another thing that we want to consider is the idea of integrity. Integrity is what we do when nobody else is looking at us. We tend to behave very well when we are in front of public. In a marital relationship, though, it is not what we do when we are seen by other people. What is most important is, how do you treat me when other people are not looking at us? You see how when people are in a marital relationship, they mask their relationship. They appear to be getting along with one another. They appear to be happy because nobody wants to air their dirty laundry outside. You all know what I'm talking about? And we put an act out there, and that act is not real. In front of people, I am very nice to my wife. In front of people, I hold the hands of my wife to appear that I am a caring person. In front of people, I may say, you go ahead of me. In front of people, I may open the door of the car for her. I may open the door when we're going in or we're going out. But that is all an act that is done in front of people. Integrity means what happens, what kind of a person am I when other people are not looking at me? Am I still the person that I appear to be when I am in public? Or do I change at this point because nobody is watching me? There are three kinds of people. Whenever they are faced with a trouble, there are three kinds of people, or with any challenge. The first type of people are what we call the people pleasers, or the self-pleasers, selfish people. What is the first question? How do they determine right from wrong? They immediately say, what is in it for me? Whatever the challenge is, their immediate question is, what is in it for me? And that's how they go about it. Then there are their cousins who are the people's pleasers. What would get me most compliment from the men? What would get me most compliment from people who are around me? So they are the others' pleasers. And then they are what we call the God pleasers. What would please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now? That is what we say when we are speaking about integrity. It is not about what we do when we are in public. Most important, it is all about what we do when we are no longer in public. A person who is spiritually and ethically committed. What do we mean by this? Spirituality and ethical commitment or an ethics, it is not a goal. My goal is not to become spiritual. My goal is not to become ethical. But rather, it is a process. It is a process that I constantly need to be committed to, dedicated to, that takes consistency. So I want to be that. Spiritually, are you growing? Does that person want to grow, and are they committed to spirituality? Sometimes we care so much about the rituals of the deen, so we're not growing spiritually. And that can be very problematic. You know what happens when we do this? We become very dry, and we become very cold. And that is not the idea. We want to have a soft heart. We want to make sure that our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also based on emotions. Emotions of love. Remember what we said? That the essence of ibadah is what? Is to have that perfect love accompanied with that perfect obedience. And sometimes we worship Allah, but love is not involved in the process. And what this makes our ritual looks like is that it becomes very mechanical. It becomes very void of any sort of emotion. And of course, at that point, we are compromising a great deal of our commitment and of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want somebody who is ethically committed. What does that mean? It means that you just do not want a person who knows what is right and what is wrong, but they are committed to the right, and they are also committed to not being guilty of the wrong, and that is, of course, unconditionally. And that's why we say, we want people who are ethically and they are spiritually committed in this journey. We're also looking for people who have got control and they are of sound thinking. You know, what do I mean by control and sound thinking? You want somebody who is mature. You want somebody who is able to say, even though this is how I feel, I would like to hold back. Even though this is what the outburst that I really want to do, but then I have got enough integrity and I have got enough control over myself that I am able to hold back. We want somebody who is of sound thinking. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with this intellect of ours. And sometimes we choose to give our intellectual abilities and thinking, and we allow somebody else to do the thinking for us. But in a marital relationship, we want somebody who is going to make sound decisions for the well-being of the family. We want somebody who is, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put them in charge, in the case of the man, and put us as helpers in the case of the woman, you want somebody who is able to make that sound decision, the sound thinking for the betterment of our family, for the betterment of our children. Likewise, we want somebody who is genuine. What does that mean when we say that somebody is genuine? They are real. They are not fake. You know what hurts most is that when people deal with you and they really don't mean it. That hurts so bad. It's as good as lying, by the way. You just fake it. And that is why, what are we not supposed to do in Hajj? I love this part of Hajj. What are we not supposed to do in Hajj? Once you put yourself in the state of Ihram, what are you not supposed to do? Don't put any cologne on, right? Don't put any makeup on, right? When you take a shower, it may only be with water or what? Odorless. So, why all of this? Why is that? I mean, isn't cleanliness part of Islam? Why can't I just put deodorant? It's already busy and crowded and smelly. Why doesn't Allah allow us? You know, if you have never used deodorant, you would hope that in Hajj, everybody uses deodorant, right? Everybody is sweaty and everybody is smelly. But why would Allah say, don't do that? Why? Because see, through our, you know, the rest of the year, there has been a lot of facade that was going on. And that is a mask that we wear. So Hajj time, what happens? Hajj time comes. And what does Hajj time tell us? Let us see who you really are. Put all the stuff that you put on, just put it aside. Don't put that deodorant. Don't put that shampoo. Don't put that cologne. Don't put that perfume. Let us see who you really are. And that's why Hajj either refines you or it defines you. We will continue more, inshallah, with this topic when we come back. Please do stay tuned. And inshallah, we shall return momentarily.
And always be seen as man and wife fulfilling.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, blessings, and the mercy of Allah be upon all of you. We are talking about the traits and the characteristics that we ought to be looking for when we are embarking on the mission of finding a partner that we want to spend the rest of our life with. And we left at saying that a person must be genuine. A person who does not put a mask on. A person who is really real. And sometimes when people are real, you know what? Whether good or bad, at least you appreciate the fact that they are real. So when we speak about genuineness, we're talking about genuineness, you know, in the hadith, وَسَخَاوَةِ الْأَنْفُسِ, the generosity of spirit. Some people are generous. Sometimes people give because they're forced to, or it's zakat time, or what have you. But here the Prophet ﷺ is speaking about the generosity of a spirit. Not just being generous, but your spirit by which you give, that in itself is generous. Because sometimes we may do things and they really do not appear real. So what we want is that we want somebody who is genuine, somebody who is real, somebody who is not a fake. We want somebody that is moderate. Moderate in what? Moderate in everything. We want somebody that is moderate in their religiosity, in their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes people make Islam very unattractive. They're so rigid about it that, you know what, you just say, if you are the representation of Islam, I really do not want to be part of this. So we want to be moderate. We want to be moderate in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to be moderate when it comes to financial issues. We want to be moderate when we are serious. You know, people who are serious all the time, if you're serious all the time, I have good news for you. You are not fun to be around. People may not tell you this, but I am telling it to you. You are not fun to be around. It's nice to be serious when it is time to be serious. You know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to our house, what happens? He said he would play with this and he would play with that and he would smile to this and smile to that. And then what happens? Said the minute he hears the call to the prayers, what happens? Said it is as if we don't know him and he does not know us. Now it is time to become serious. So even moderation in this. Moderation in everything. Moderation in how much fun do we want to have? How much seriousness do we want to have? Moderation in everything. It just, when you deal with a person who is moderate, it makes everything easy. It makes religiosity easy because it's in moderation. You know what happens when you commit to moderation? It's also easy to what? To continue and to keep up. When we overburden ourselves with whatever it is, it becomes very difficult to keep up. So what we want is that we want moderation. We want to be with somebody who is moderate in their views, show some flexibility. They are willing to consider and reconsider. They're willing to listen to what others have to say and what have you. We want somebody who has a positive attitude towards life. Remember the pessimist that we spoke about? You know, some people, when they speak about this life, oh my God, all they hear is all the people are not good. And what they speak about all day long is how terrible traffic was and how rude their boss was at work. And it just creates a very negative attitude. What do we do nowadays? What is the first thing that we do when we wake up in the morning? The first thing that we do is what? No, we complain. Said, I didn't have a good sleep. Oh, my back hurts. You know what? I think I slept wrong on my shoulder. You know what? My hands feel very numb. I was having nightmares all the time. So we wake up and the first thing that we do is we complain. We're driving or we're being driven, we complain about traffic. We complain about people who cut us off. We complain about work. And then we come back home and people ask, so how was your day and what do we do? Oh, don't even get me started. Because all I have to do is just complain and complain to you. There was this woman, she said, every time I picked up my children from school, I had a rule. When I asked them how was their day, they had to tell me the 5 best things that happened during that day. And then they can complain. But before they start complaining, they must tell me the 5 best things that happened on that day. What do you think eventually happened? They needed to come up with 5 things. So you know what they did? During their day, they did what? They kept paying attention only to good things because they needed to come up with 5 things. So eventually, what did this lead to? A positive attitude towards life. There is nothing wrong with complaining. But if complaining is all what we do, then we are creating a very negative attitude towards life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a very beautiful positive attitude towards life. What is the first thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say when he gets up in the morning? Alhamdulillah alladhi radda ilayya ruhi. All praise is due to Allah who has given me my soul back. Meaning that life in itself is something to be celebrated. Life in itself is to be celebrated. That is very beautiful. That is extremely beautiful. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived this way. So we want people who have got this positive attitude towards life. We want somebody who is educated and able to support. Love does not put food on the table, does it? What we're going to have for lunch today? Oh, we're going to have some love. Well, that's really nice. What about dinner? Oh, I don't know, maybe some infatuation. That's really nice and tasty. What about for breakfast tomorrow morning? I don't know, maybe some obsession. People don't eat these things. Okay? As much as we like to enjoy the company of the people who give us these things, but by the end of the day, what do we want? We want people who are able to support. Be it via education, be it via their own achievements at this point, but people who are educated and able to support is what we look for. And I think I have said a lot of information. I just don't want to dish it like that and leave it here. And we've got a few minutes left, so why don't we take and consider some comments or some questions at this point.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Brother, I think a few slides back, when you talk about integrity, you give an example that a person who is never say no or la, who is to be considered as a good person or example. But nowadays, the various books says that you should require courage to say no, and you often say no unless it is genuinely yes. So what is, please enlighten us.
Yeah, remember I was just telling a story. And remember, these stories are not to derive a specific ruling from, but rather it is the moral of the story, that how a person was being described as such. And I don't think I mentioned this story when I was talking about integrity. At least I don't remember this part of it. I don't think we were talking about integrity, but rather we were talking about people who are optimistic, even in the language that they use, to the point that they would avoid using the term no, and they would find something else to use. So for example, no, you know, you can say no without really saying no. You know what I'm talking about? You can really do that. So some people are so conscious about this that they are able to do so. They're able to say no without really using the word no. Not because they are not courageous or they're afraid, because they genuinely do not like to use the term no. Let me give you an example about language. If your son or your daughter, they come to you and they say, how was I today? And say, today you were a good child, but you did not clean your room. What do you think is going to be most remembered about this? So I say a good, nice thing, and then everybody's waiting to hear the but. You all know what I'm talking about? Brother, this was a good lecture, and you just, they give you that introduction, and what do you wait for? But. Because all that stuff is really not what they mean, but what do they mean? When they start saying but, that's when you ought to be listening to them, because that's when the real thing is going to come out. So if I were to say, how was I today, Mama? And you say, you were a good child, and it would have been so good if you cleaned your room. Is this more positive? Of course it is. When you use and instead of but, that's really good. We have exercises when people come into counseling, and one of the very first exercises that we like to use is, as long as you are in the exercise, in the counseling session, you cannot use but. You really cannot use but. Try to speak for an entire day without using but. It is very difficult. It is very difficult because we have been so used to it. And with this, inshallah, we come to the conclusion of this part of our program. Very grateful that you have joined us for this one. And inshallah, you will join us again when we are on next time. And remember, your questions, your comments, your critiques are always welcome at yasirfazaga@peacetv.org. Until we meet next time, we say so long and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.